Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Who's been loving the series that we're in? Purpose. Man, how often do we search for purpose in life, hey? I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people where they're like, oh, do you think that lines up with my purpose? Do you think that lines up with my calling? What's my calling? What am I supposed to do in life? What's the next step? How often do we feel that? Like every day, hey, that pressure? Yeah, I see some hands. Yeah, me too. I'm with you. But I'm here to tell you that I know what your purpose is. So you came to the right service. I actually believe that we were all created for the exact same purpose. I think the outworking of it looks different. It's a mesh of giftings, spiritual giftings, physical giftings, personality, the people you surround yourself, and all of these different things that lead you on the pathway. But the purpose is the same. We were all placed on this earth to worship and to bring glory to God. That's it. How freeing is that? That if we just worship and praise God, we're actually outworking the purpose that we were created for. In John 4, it says this, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, where true worshipers will worship the Father and in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. Where true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Not where people will worship in spirit and truth. Not where businessmen or women will worship in spirit and truth. Where worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. We're designed to worship. We're created to worship. And God is searching all of the earth, everything he created. He's looking for these worshipers. So there's something to take note of there, that it's actually not what is my purpose, because we know what our purpose is. It is, am I living out the purpose that God created me for? Because the purpose isn't the question. And so this morning, I'm going to share with you a message that I've titled, Our Pathway to His Purpose. Because it's our pathway. There's one time in Genesis that God said throughout creation that it wasn't good. Just once. And it's when man was alone. And the cool thing is that he actually wasn't alone in the garden because God was there with him. So it's actually showing us that we actually need to live in community. We need to live this out together. It says that God created a helper. We're meant to be helpers to one another, not criticizers, helpers. So this is our pathway to his purpose. But in order to actually understand worship or the purpose that we were created for, we have to understand worship. And I actually believe that worship is one of the things that we have put inside this box as a church. And it's okay because it's all good and it is all worship. But we've made worship fit in this box or the context of what's understandable. And I actually am not sure that worship is completely understandable. But worship is simply devotional adoration. It's a reverence within you. It's not a song that we sing on Sunday mornings. It's not a house. It's not a church. Worship is something that happens within you. It's a lifestyle that we're actually meant to live. It's the thing that you draw near to. It's what your focus is on. That's what worship is. And all through the Bible and all through everyday life, we see people drawing near to something, focusing on something. And that's what we were created for. Like I said earlier, we naturally focus and draw near to things because we were created to do that. But God's intention is that it would be him, not us. In Psalms 100, it says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. There's a pathway. There's a pathway to this purpose, and we have the key to the gate. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know that there's more than one gate in this world? If there wasn't, it would say, enter the gate with thanksgiving. But it says, enter his gates, with thanksgiving. I was a child at one point. Whoa. And I lived with my sister. Shocking. Another shocking fact. But we grew up really close with my cousins, and my older cousin and my sister would always lock us out of her bedroom and play without us. And all we wanted to do was play with them. But somehow she got the room with a lock on it. I don't know how. That seems unfair, but I want to make sure there's no locks in my house. They would go in the room, they'd lock it, and my sister is super responsible from a young age. Like, she had this, like, treasure thing. I don't know what it was. It was like a treasure box. And she would, like, save candy in there. And she'd, like, put it away for another time. But the candy would just end up going stale because she kept it for so long. But she's always super responsible. And so when they locked that door and were in there, I knew they were eating candy. I knew that they were in there. And I was like, oh, I just want to be in there with them. And then you'd knock on the door and you'd be like, let me in. And they'd be like, what's the password? And you're like, I love you. No, what's the password? Can we have some candy? No. And then you start getting desperate because you know what's in there. So you knock again and they're like, what's the password? And you're like, okay, I don't know the password. I don't know it. But next time we get in trouble, I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. No, it's not good. Okay, so next time, and you start sacrificing. I'll let you come out of that room. When I get in that room, you can punch me 3 times in the arm. But our life models what we're thankful for. And in that moment, I was thankful for candy by what we sacrifice towards. Our life models what we're thankful by what we're thankful for by what we sacrifice towards. What matters most to us? I believe that that's a question that you should ask, and that is actually a really convicting question because it actually draws you to thankfulness. And all through the Old Testament, there's these models that were set up. The Garden of Eden was one of them, the tabernacle and the temple, and they were all designed that there would be a place of worship where people would come into the presence of God. And in the there's 3 courts. So there was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And in the outer court, it's where everyone brought their sacrifices. It's where everyone brought their offerings to God. And I believe that through the gate, so if there is a gate, we're meant to offer up something before God. But we don't have to mystify it and try to seek what it is because he's told us it's thankfulness. But there's these other gates that we go through. And if worship is just a point of our focus, we focus on things like fear. We would never say that I'm focused on fear, but we can't stop thinking, what if, what if, what if, when that happens? We think about it and we overanalyze it, and then we find ourselves in a court, because if there's a gate that is not authorized by God, there is a court that's not authorized by God. And we find ourselves in the courts of anxiety. We're overwhelmed. It might be approval. We might struggle with trying to find approval for man. And we're focused on that. If they just would think, don't they know who I am? I think that a lot. approval. Approval. We get so focused on this. And the gateway, that's the gateway. And the courts we find ourselves is just insecurities. Insecurities begin to build in us. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. Maybe we struggle with wanting to find fulfillment from other places. A lot of the times it can be, and I can speak on behalf of single women, is I was going to make a joke there, but just let that pass. Marriage. We can be looking for fulfillment in marriage and focus on that so much that we get so desperate. And we get kind of weird sometimes. Again, single woman speaking. But we find ourselves in the courts of loneliness because we made it bigger than it needs to be. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's success in a title in the church. I've dealt with the same thing. I once put a lot of my identity in being a music director back in Calgary, and God quickly took that away from me for a season. We build our life into these things that can even be God-given to us. But we've just placed it above God, and we find ourselves then in the courts of adultery. Idolatry, not adultery. Well, maybe. To each their own. We find ourselves in these courts. And in Micah chapter 6, God is making this case towards, I'm just going to flip there. I'm not very good at multitasking. My creative brain just fires. Against Israel. And it actually is devastating. Truthfully, I've only read Micah in Bible plans. I haven't really ever gone back to it. But I found myself going back there this week, and it devastated me because God's making his case against Israel, his chosen people. And he's saying, let the mountains witness your complaints. What does it sound like when you're not in the courts of praise? Complaint. If you find yourself complaining, you're not in the court of praise. It's actually just that simple. And so we then have to reshift our language, go back to the gate, which is thankfulness. But God's saying, he's saying, the poor screens people, because I gave them the whole chapter, but I'm just going to like bullet point it. So just listen. Let them witness your complaints. And then God says this, it's devastating. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? God in heaven is standing saying, oh, my people, what have I done to make you tired of me? What have I done to make you focus on these other things? He says, don't you remember that I brought you out of Egypt, that I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you? Don't you remember? Don't you remember 3 or 4 times? Don't you remember what I've done? And then it says, I have done everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. God is doing everything in heaven that he can to teach you about his faithfulness. But oftentimes we don't remember it, so we can't actually stand on the ground we've already taken in a past circumstance. And then Israel's like, oh, dang, you're right. And then they scramble and they go, what can we bring to you? What can we bring to you? And they offer up all these gifts of animal sacrifices and 1,000 rivers of olive oil, which I was like, or 10,000, it's 10,000. I was like, whoa, how do you do that? Like, show me that skill. But then God responds and says, what's required of you to do is just this, what is right, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's worship. Walk humbly with your God. We enter his gates with thanksgiving because thankfulness generates, it's like the engine room. Once you remember who God is, you're not focused on what you're going through, you're focused on who he is. You're reminded of who he is, and that's how you go into the courts of praise. You praise your way in. Praise is a decision. Man, 97% of the time, I do not feel like praising. I don't feel like lifting my hands. I don't feel like asking for you to lift your hands with me. I don't feel like doing any of that. But praise is a decision. It's saying, no, 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 God, I'm not actually taking into account my circumstances. I'm focusing on you because I've gone through the gate of thankfulness. I remember who you are. Thankfulness is the engine room, but praise is where transaction begins to happen. I am convinced that praise is the most powerful weapon we've been given as believers. And it's so underestimated because praise isn't a moment. It's not just, oh, you're good. Praise is a weapon. Praise takes ground. Praise pushes back the gates of hell and darkness because it's not about us. It has nothing to do with anything on this earth. It's just God's character. It's who he is. It's the one that's already overcome everything put into action. So this is the inner courts. The inner courts of the temple is praise. What happened in the inner courts is priests were only allowed in there. And they were washed clean, they were anointed, and they were clothed in new clothing to carry out the work that they were called to do. Praise clothes us in new clothing that's actually required for the work that God put us on earth. We can't walk in our purpose with believing things of this world because we're not strong enough. We haven't overcome the world. God did. And so we need to clothe ourselves with his character. Praise anoints us. Praise washes us. Praise clothes us in the identity and strength of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how many of you know my story. Not the loudest person you've ever met. Don't like to yell. God's been, this is a funny story. I actually have heard my voice like yelling a couple times. And one, it's when a projector was falling here and I was back there and saw it happening and I scared myself. Because I just don't know what it sounds like. I've never been a yeller. I've never been loud. And so timidity is something that I've had to face and fear over and over and over again. And there was a moment in my life that completely shifted, where it ruled me. Timidity ruled me before, but then I made a decision to not allow it. And my dad passed away about 10 years ago now. And it was pretty sudden and very devastating. And we knew he had cancer, was on remission for a while, and then all of a sudden it came back, and it came back pretty fiercely. But we thought we had a bit with him yet. And so I went to chase a boy that I believed was maybe something special, because I'm indecisive. Maybe, possibly something maybe special. And I flew out to North Carolina, where he was, and I got a call like the day I landed. And they said on the phone, the doctors have just given your dad 2 weeks and he's quickly declining, so you need to come home. The day I landed. And I remember being so angry, because here I thought I was in this place taking a bold step, chasing something. And then I had to go back home. And truthfully, I resented right away. Resented having to go back home, which then I later felt guilty for. Actually, not later, on the plane. And I got back and my dad was already changing. The last 2 weeks of someone passing away, I would never wish that upon anyone. The person that you know completely disappears in front of you, but they're still there. And as a daughter, that's devastating. And I had to walk in there and believe, one, that I was good because of the thoughts that I just had, and come to a good father. And I'd stopped going to church. He passed away, and we had a beautiful ceremony, and it's actually been God's redeeming this story still to the day, which is just the beauty of him. But I found myself not going to church because I was angry. I was ashamed of the way that I reacted. I felt guilty. I was really mad at God because I didn't believe that a good God could do something that bad to good people. I had every excuse, and then someone said to me, "Mandy, you need to find yourself back in church." And I said, I think that you're wrong. And they said, "No, just trust me. You need to be back in church." And I had just started worship ministry before. I played the bass because I didn't want to be on stage. And they tricked me. And so this was my getaway. I was like, awesome, I never have to get back on stage again. But I remember being in the back row of that church service, almost 10 years exactly now. And Pastor Lauren was doing an altar call for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was something within me that like I just could not ignore. And I remember being so angry in the back. I was like, "God, you're not good. I don't see the evidence of it right now. I'm angry. I'm ashamed. How can you be good? Like, and I'm so bad." That's what I believe. And God cornered me in this moment, and he said, "Mandy, you need to decide. Either I am or I am not. But stop wavering. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop going through different gates. Just make a decision." And that day, I made a decision. I went up to the altar. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And honestly, from that day forward, I made a decision to praise God all my days, to believe that He is good, no matter what. And that doesn't mean I haven't gone through other things since then. Life throws circumstances at us, but praise is the weapon that we were equipped with. Life is hard, but praise is the weapon that we've been given. And you know, the second that I was on that altar and I said, God, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you are the great I am. And he said, and so then are you. We need to be found in him. We need to be found in Jesus Christ. Our identity, our purpose does not come from any job. It doesn't come from any circumstance. It doesn't come from anything that we try to put ourselves into. It comes from Jesus Christ. That's it. We need to worship him. We need to be found in him. Our circumstances will always tell us something different. But God doesn't change. How do you worship in spirit and in truth? Well, this is truth. Complete truth. So start here. Praise engages your spirit naturally. You don't have to do anything to turn that on. You just start praising. We need to be found in him. In Genesis, I have been stuck in it. And I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. It just never gets old. And there's all these different things throughout the Bible that represent the presence of God. And one of them was the Garden of Eden. It was created so that Adam and Eve could walk with God every day. And I believe that that's actually our purpose. I believe that's how we worship. This is just a walk. There's a Bible verse that says God was walking, and in that song we sang, it said, I'll walk with you in the cool of the night. And in Genesis 2, it says, when the cool of the evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then God called out to them, where are you? How do we know that they were walking with God? Why would God call out, where are you? If they hadn't walked with him before. And they said, oh, we hid because we were naked and ashamed. And God responded with, who told you that? Who told you that? See, the enemy's ploy, his tricks, they're the same. He just tries to get our focus off of God and onto something else. It's what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's what the temple became. That too many people use it as an idol and began to become proud about what they were building for God. The enemy just shifts our focus by like a centimeter. And we find ourselves in these other courts that aren't the courts that God designed us to live in. And he's up in heaven saying, who told you that? Who told you you couldn't do that? Who told you you're bound by depression? Who told you you're anxious? Who told you you're not good enough? That's not who I designed you to be. I am who I say I am. So by nature, you are because I am in you. God is in us. The first thing God does when Adam and Eve say, who did it? And then the blame game happens. How many times does that happen when you get cornered by God? The first thing he does is he curses out the enemy. God's angry at the enemy because it keeps happening again and again and again and again. And the beautiful thing about this story is he actually redeems it. Yes, we now are fallen. We live in a fallen nature and deal with sin. But the beauty of it is God actually clothed them. So in Genesis 21, it says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. He didn't leave Adam and Eve to go find some more leaves and clothe themselves. He didn't let anyone else clothe them. He clothed them with his own clothing. God's not trying to point out your flaws. He's not trying to point out your insecurities or anything like that. He's trying to clothe you. He's saying, come into my courts. Come into my courts. In the Old Old Testament, it was the garden, the tabernacle, and the temple. And then there was a shifting point where God sent one man to walk on earth, to face every trial that we face, every battle we face, and to take up the cross so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could be right with him. Because in the temple, the high priest, which were few and far between, could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But the second Jesus died on that cross, that veil was torn so that we would have complete access. God's desire is that we would have complete access to his presence, that we would be walking with him in the cool of the day, that we wouldn't be focused on anything else. Have you ever walked with someone? I love going on hikes with people that I love, like, and that are dear to me, because when you walk with someone, you're not focused on anything else. You have the best chats. Anyone? Just me? I love walking. And God's designed us to walk with him. And Paul gets this in the New Testament. He's urging the church, don't you understand? It's not the tabernacle anymore. It's not the temple. You don't have to do anything to become right before God, because Jesus did that. And he is in you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is in you. So you're the temple. You're it. You're the dwelling place of the presence of God. That's why we have to be thankful. That's why we have to go through the gates of thankfulness and praise, because we're the temple. We got to get our head out of the game. We got to get our fallen nature out of the game and clothe ourselves with the praise and righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we can begin to walk in his purpose and his calling over our lives. And Romans 12 says this. It's my favorite. Oh, I love the Bible. I love it. It's just so good. I could live out of this passage. I do live out of this passage. The worship team embodies this passage, because this is it. This is a lifestyle of worship. Romans 12, you got to read it. This is how we're meant to walk. But just the first two verses says, and dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. That's thankfulness. That's the gate of thankfulness right there. Give yourselves, offer up yourselves, sacrifice, pay the price, and be thankful for Jesus Christ. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way we worship him. That's the outer courts. That's praise. Or that's thankfulness. And then it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the courts of praise, as the Holy Spirit begins to take over you and your language becomes a language of praise, and your mind is transformed, not from who you see, but who God sees and who God says. You become a new creation. And then it says, and then you will learn to know God's will for you, that it is perfect and pleasing and good. I'm not going to stand up here and say that that moment on the altar, I got vision. I knew I was going to be standing right here. I didn't know any of that. I think if I did, I actually would have ran away. Nope. But I found purpose. I found my voice of praise. I picked up my weapon. And every day, I decided to worship. Every day, I decided to walk with God. And I decided to train my language. I wouldn't allow myself to go through the gate of gossip. I don't allow myself to go through the gate of fear. I don't allow myself to put anything higher than God, including my position on stage. Man, the amount of worshipers that fall because they idolize this position here. It's not what it's about. We're not going to know the steps all the time. We're not going to know the battles that come our way. But you can know your purpose. And I'm telling you, when you hold on to being a worshiper that worships in spirit and in truth, you can't be shaken. The deeper you grow those roots down, the more wind that comes, it won't uproot you. Why? Because it's not your identity. It's not your life. It's God's and his purpose and his plan. God designed us perfectly for this moment in time with our gift settings to be living and walking on this earth. But that's meant to be in relationship with you, with Him. Those gifts mean nothing if they're not attached to the presence of God. The skills, the success means nothing if it's not attached and rooted in the presence of God. And there might be some people in the room today that have never met this Jesus that I'm talking about, the one that changed the game for us, the one that gave us free access into the kingdom of heaven so that we could walk righteously and bold. And today I want to give you that opportunity to meet Him, because I believe it's the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. You might have started walking with God. You might have started living a lifestyle of worship. But like me, you found yourself second guessing if He was good, if what He says was true. And that's okay, because sometimes the questioning just digs our roots in deeper. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision to change the language and the trajectory of your life. And maybe you're sitting in this room and you're actually not sure whether you'd go to heaven or not. Or the thought of it just scares you. I want to give you that same opportunity to seal your eternity in heaven with a loving God. And so if each of you would bow your head and close your eyes,